25% of our annual budget comes from listeners like you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting CKUW 95.9 FM at Fundrive.
You're listening to Sister Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM, bringing the issues of youth in and from care, from their lives to your minds.
Hello, and welcome back to CKUW 95.9 FM. This is the program System Kids, brought to you by Voices, Manitoba's Youth and Care Network. My name is Mary, and I am the Outreach Coordinator here at Voices, and I am joined with our lovely manager, Erin, and our practicum student, Maiva. Today's second half, we're going to be interviewing Maiva and asking her about what her experience has been like studying social work thus far. But before we get into it, of course, we're going to start with an icebreaker. And today's icebreaker is, what is your favorite Winnipeg activity?
Well, I can answer that, Mary. So my favorite Winnipeg activity is actually going to different local music shows. Mm-hmm. We have such a wealth of excellent music coming out of Winnipeg and Manitoba in general. And it's really, really good to support the local arts. And I love going to the different smaller clubs and listening to the beautiful work that comes out of our city.
What's your favorite venue?
Oh, my favorite venue of all time is the Park Theater. 100%. Oh, it's on Osborne. And they recently renovated a couple of years ago or whatever, and it's nice and open now. Mm-hmm. But it's fantastic, and they have a great spot for, like, after the show to, you know, even talk with the artists, get their autographs, all mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So it's an excellent venue, but that's got to be my top venue. Mm-hmm. But when you want more of an intimate setting, I would have to say Times Changed, hands down, because mm-hmm. That's a local icon place kind of thing. So
oh, yeah.
That's a great place to let loose as well.
You stole my answer, Erin, because I was going to say the live music in Winnipeg is my favorite thing to do as well. And I was going to say High and Lonesome would be my favorite spot. Mm-hmm. I have been to Park Theater once, and it was a wonderful show. They had, like, projectors up, mm-hmm. and there was, like, a Lego montage going on with music. It was so cool.
I also like live music, and Park Theater is really good, too. And they also have plenty of events, too, that aren't just, like, concerts. Like, near Halloween, I went to, like, emo night, where it was just emo music the whole time. So they have really good events. I'm in, like, a Shrek rave, if you're really into
oh,
Shrek.
Wow.
Yeah, they have that kind of stuff.
Fun.
But my favorite Winnipeg activity would probably be museums, but specifically the Manitoba Museum. I think since the creation of the Human Rights Museum, the Manitoba Museum has kind of, you know, been less recognized, but I think it's really an awesome museum. And it's super cool, and it's super interactive. Even as an adult, I think it's just, like, it's, like, one of my favorite Winnipeg places. So, yeah.
That's where they have the planetarium, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the planetarium's so cool.
It is.
And I think they do shows there, like, musical shows, mm-hmm. and you're looking up at the stars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very neat.
I've been to the planetarium when they've done those laser shows.
Yeah.
I went to, I think it was a Pink Floyd one.
It was
fantastic.
Ooh. Yes, they did the Pink Floyd one, yeah.
It was wild. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love the Manitoba Museum as well. Mm-hmm. Like, my favorite parts of the Manitoba Museum, besides the Nonsuch, because I love that area, but I love the miniatures, like the like dioramas that they have. I find them so interesting. They're so intricate, and you always learn something new. I love the Manitoba Museum. It's great for little kids as well, because like you said, it's super interactive, but I find it just as engaging for adults as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%. It's so easy to nerd out over those little miniatures, hey?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And then, I know I'm dating myself, but it used to be called Touch the Universe, so that's the science galleries.
Okay.
It's still fun. Yeah. I don't care how old you are. It is fun to
really
go in there
fun.
And, you know, like that, there's that one station with all the pins, mm-hmm. and then you can, put like, it looks like a table with all these pins in it, and then you can touch the pins with your hand, and it, you know, it doesn't hurt or anything. It's actually soft. Yeah. But I love that. Yeah. I always play with that when I'm there.
Oh, yeah. Really a great place to bring the youth, too, we've found. The youth have really enjoyed it, and kids love it there. There's so much to do. And you're never going to see everything in one visit. So
It's actually a really great place for all your parents, all these parents out there. It's a great place to have children's birthday parties. Because you get access and it's a blast, and they really help you to make the birthday celebration as custom to you as possible. So
awesome, wonderful answers, guys. I know what I'm doing this weekend, Manitoba Museum. And we have some Voices updates for you guys, starting with our Empower You program that runs bi-weekly on Mondays. We have one coming up on December 8th, and we're going to be discussing advocacy, and dinner will be provided. We have leadership, so we have a leadership tomorrow from 4 to 7 p.m., and we're going to be talking about storytelling for change. Dinner is also provided, so if you're interested, please do let us know. You can always find us at 61 Juno Street on the third floor. And we're going to have our wind-up leadership on the 10th, so we're going to be having a craft pizza party. So if you are interested, again, please do let us know. We'd love to have you there. We're going to pick up again after the holidays. And of course, we have our Christmas party coming up. So if you would like to join us for dinner on Christmas Day, please RSVP at daniel@voices.mb.ca. This Christmas dinner is for children and youth in and from care, and it's an opportunity for us all to get together and celebrate this very special holiday. All right, that is all for Voices updates. Again, you can find us on the third floor of 61 Juno Street. You can give us a call at 204-982-4956, or you can find us on our social media. Our Facebook is Voices MYICN. You can send us an email at ask@voices.mb.ca as well. All right, that takes us into our rights highlight. Maiva's going to be sharing with us Article 12 of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child.
Thank you, Mary. So today we are going to be highlighting Article 12. Article 12 is youth have the right and are capable of forming their own opinions and expressing their own opinions. A child shall be heard in any judicial and administrative process affecting a child. So why did we choose this right? This right is important because youth have their own voices, and it is important for those over the age of 18 to help and advocate for them. It's a common misconception that kids can't speak for themselves, but it is not the case. Youth know themselves best. And why is it important for youth in care? It's important that youth in care know that they have the right in any case, especially foster care and just in care in general, that they can express their opinions and concerns with their caseworkers, foster parents, and anybody involved in their lives in general.
Yeah, it also tells the child that they have the right to be heard, and that's in every step of their case plan. You know, like their voices, their opinions need to be heard by the powers that be, you know, and they actually have that right.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. All right. That takes us into our first song break. When we come back, we're going to have a community connection for you guys. Today's song is Waiter by Living Hour. Welcome back to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM.
So today our community connection is the Women's Health Clinic at the Graham location. So their hours are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., Fridays, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Saturday from 10:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. And you can find them at 419 Graham Avenue on the third floor in Winnipeg. Their phone number is 204-947-1517, or you can email them at whc@womenshealthclinic.org. They offer a multitude of resources and services, and I'm just going to go over a few of them. One is the Dragonfly program, which supports people and families impacted by pregnancy loss and infant loss. There is peer support, group support, and counseling. They also offer a program on eating disorders. They offer a recovery program for binge eating disorder, anorexia nervosa, and bulimia for all people from all genders over the age of 18. They also offer midwifery. They offer help for pregnancy, childbirth, and parenting. They also offer programs for abortion. They offer aspiration abortions and medicated abortions in a non-judgmental environment. They also offer referrals for other centers if need be. They will also discuss every step and the entire process with you before you make your decision. They also offer counseling for pregnancy, mental health, and birth control, and they offer a wide range of medical programs. So if this sounds like this would be a good program for you, just remember that they are located at 419 Graham Avenue on the third floor in Winnipeg, and their phone number is 204-947-1517.
Thanks so much, Erin, for sharing that community connection with us. We're going to go into our child welfare in the news segment next.
Today we have an article called Calls to Decolonize the Child Welfare System in Manitoba. And this is an article from City News, and it was posted on April 8th, 2025. Half of Manitoba's First Nations parents have an open file with the province's child welfare system, a rate four times higher than other parents. That's one of the findings in a long-term study into the rates of contact with child and family services in Manitoba. The study also found 27% of First Nations parents experienced removal of one or more of their children, nearly six times higher than other parents. And 9% of all First Nations parents experienced termination of parental rights at a rate five times higher. Despite calling the report very important, Manitoba Minister of Families Nahani Fontaine says it didn't contain anything new that communities haven't already been bringing up for years. The system is predicated upon understanding Indigenous families or Indigenous parents as not capable of raising or taking care of their own children, said Fontaine, who has personal experience with the system from being in care twice during her life. This is what residential schools was about. That was what the 60s scoop was about, and that is the historical continuation of child welfare. Child welfare needs to be led by our nations, said AMC Grand Chief Kyra Wilson, by our families, by our leadership. It doesn't and shouldn't actually be part of the government. We know that these systems are foreign to who we are as people, and we do need to see jurisdictional transfers of services to our nations, to our families. Wilson was a young mother when she became a social worker, allowing her to better understand the system. My auntie, who was a social worker at the time, she said, "You need to become a social worker," Wilson recounted. "We have so many children in care, and we need people to protect our children." The AMC Grand Chief says she expects to see lasting impacts from the system and says real change is long overdue. She is calling for more supports for families, including First Nations-led wellness and preventative supports to keep families together. I think that this article was really well written and very important to bring attention to, because there is disproportionate amount of Indigenous families that have contact with the child welfare system. So I think it's really important to bring this information to light so the public knows what is actually happening.
I really interpret this article as a cry for help. You know, when I believe it was Wilson was saying that the family member said, you know, you have to be a social worker. We need social workers in this field. I think that we definitely see that there is a need for it, especially when we're hearing that social workers have cases over the 20s, you know, that we need more. And hopefully some of us may be inspired from our interview later with Maiva as to why social work is such a great field and that it's very much needed.
Just some finishing thoughts on that as well. In social work, it's something really interesting how much we talk about Indigenous people and what they need. But like Wilson said, we do need more Indigenous social workers as well, because it's them who can help the huge amount of Indigenous kids in youth and care. Just need someone that understands their situation better. And I think it's just a huge problem as well. And when I did the research for this article, I was really in shock at the disproportionate rate that Indigenous families are involved with CFS. It's crazy.
Definitely. Thanks for sharing, Erin and Maiva, your thoughts on that article. It was posted in April, a few months ago, but I think we've been seeing similar articles come out since then, and we just wanted to share this because this message is worth rehearing time and time again to be reminded about where we are currently in Manitoba. And that's going to take us into our next song break. I have The Moment by Matt Foster.
I might have known in a better moment, but love the moment was not on my side. Sometimes you do things, sometimes you won't, and it feels like you will things, but maybe you don't. I go to the bottle, bring my pearl of pearls. She's seen enough for one little girl. I know home just isn't home. Ever since it happened, and I know love, I know was happening all the time. I might have known in a bed. bitter moment, but love the moment was not on my side. Sometimes you do things, sometimes you won't, and it feels like you will things, but maybe you don't. I go to the bottom, bring my pearl, the pearl she's seen enough for one little girl. I know home just isn't home ever since it happened, and I know love, I know it was happening all the time.
Welcome back to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM. This takes us into our second half of the show, and we are going to be interviewing Maiva, our lovely social work student, and we just want to pick her brain about why social work, what does she enjoy about it, what has she learned, and maybe we'll get inspired to venture into the field ourselves or be inspired to make some change in the world around us. So Maiva, first question, very easy. Why are you studying social work?
So for me, the typical answer is usually I like to help people. That's something a lot of social work students say. But yes, I do like helping people, but I think it was a field / degree bachelor that I think directly helps people a lot more than some other ones. And I feel like I was able to be the most hands-on with people if I was in social work. Obviously, depending on what branch I go into, but I feel as though social workers are pretty hands-on. So that was one of the reasons.
Can you tell me, like you say, the branch that you can go into, are there many places that you can be a social worker?
Yeah. So in social work, a lot of people usually associate it, especially here in Manitoba, with CFS. However, we're all learning still how much you can do as a social worker. So for example, you can go the therapy route, you can go the correction route, you can go government. So like my profs kind of describe it in a way, if you want to change the system on a higher level, there's like the political social workers, and then you can get closer and closer. So then there's like provincial, federal, and then you can just do community if you want to work with one population. So yeah, there's a lot you can do though.
Mm-hmm. Social work is a very versatile degree. Mm-hmm. You are absolutely not limited in your options if you do pursue that route of education. Mm-hmm. So, Maiva, what do you find inspiring about social work?
For me, I think what's inspiring is, I think one thing is just how much I can do with my degree. I can just, like we were just talking about, basically work most places. And I think it's also just inspiring to see the change you can make in community work specifically. So I just like that. It's like, I love that my practicum is at Voices because it is a smaller organization, but I can really see the difference that they make directly with the youth in and out of care. So that's like one thing that's really inspiring about social work for me is just how the knowledge I take and I learn, because it is a lot of learning and a lot of political knowledge as well, but I can take that and really improve people in the way I want to do it.
Yeah, it connects you to some of the social issues that we have in our city, and you're put in a position where you can be that helper, right? Whether that's hands-on or whether that's through a more political thing, you're giving a workshop or educating the public, it's just that bridge. When I started, you know, the world was my oyster, and I wanted to change everything. I wanted to, you know, turn it upside down. And I believe that this can happen over time. Mm-hmm. And while that change on a macro level is so exciting and inspiring, what I've discovered is that change really happens on a micro kind of day-to-day interaction mm-hmm. level. So my question for you is, what kind of changes do you want to make in the field, or what kind of changes would you want to see on a social scale?
So for changes that I want to see, I think for me would be seeing more resources develop for, like, just everybody in general. But the fields I'm really interested in are more like addictions and correctional, like I said a couple times. So it'd be really cool, for example, with corrections, to see rehabilitation become more of a thing in our judicial world here in Canada, in Manitoba too. Like, I just really like to see our system have more a focus on rehabilitation and how can we stop the cycle of violence or abuse or addictions, you know. And that is one thing that I really like to change. I also, like, I always think about, like, if I did win the lottery or something like that, I wouldn't, like, a lot of people would just drop out of school because, I mean, you have all the money in the world, but I would want to finish my degree so I could still have it, and then also be able to open something like a private practice that is free, or like a community organization that offers like counseling that's free, because that's like a big issue as well, is that you can't access a lot of free counseling. And then if you can, they're usually pretty booked. Like, clinic is really great, but they have a lot of people, and like Women's Health Clinic, like we mentioned too, they're also very great, but I know that sometimes it can be hard to access services. So that is something I'd want to change, is definitely like more free resources for people spread out across the province, let's say, or the country, and also just changing a bit more of like people's perception on certain things.
So what I'm hearing is that you really want to reduce barriers for mm-hmm. individuals to receive access, because as we know, those wait lists can be extensive. Yeah. And when somebody's in the right mindset to actually get help, whether it's addictions or mental health supports, you know, like, sometimes you need to strike when the iron's hot and get those services in place right away. Mm-hmm. And these wait lists can be an absolute deterrent and a barrier. Mm-hmm. Like, say you're somebody that is dealing with addictions and you decide that day, mm-hmm. I want to get clean, I need to go into detox, I need to go into rehab. But then you're met with barriers.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so what I'm hearing from you is that you would like to eliminate those barriers.
Yeah, it's definitely about, yeah, thank you for like clarifying that. But yeah, it's definitely barriers is the big thing, I think, because like you said, with addiction, for example, that's a big one of like, we do have free resources available for addiction, but I know that a rehab is here in Manitoba is around $40,000, and not a lot of people can just, you know, drop $40,000 when they have the want and the spirit to just stop their addiction, you know, whatever the addiction is. And I think that's like a really big issue, and that's something that I'd really like to see change with my social work. So yeah.
Amazing. Well, that was a very wholesome answer, Maiva. Thank you for sharing. So kind of related to the changes you want to see, the next question is, what are your future ambitions mm-hmm. in the field of social work?
Yeah, so I'd say that, I guess, an ambition, so something a bit more that I'd want to do would be, I'd say, like, I'd really like in the end to be maybe like forensic social work or something like pretty high up, in the sense of like I can really make an impact and a change on what happens. So like forensic social work would be just analyzing someone's situation and all the external circumstances going on around them and why they might have committed a crime. And it's kind of like forensic psychology, where they analyze the person and like why their brain or who they are made them do what they did. And I think that's something that can really impact, and we've seen it before with forensic psychology, and how a verdict can really determine if someone's where they go and where they end up in terms of sentencing. So I think that's really important, because analyzing why someone did what they did can really help them and their sentence, for example. And in general, I just really want to be part of a positive change, whether it be political or just government-wise. It's my ambition to just create positive change.
I love that. Thanks for sharing, Maiva. And I do believe you will accomplish all the goals that you set for yourself. We're going to continue our interview after the song break. Next up, we have Alien Girl by Paige Jobot. Welcome back to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM. Today we are interviewing our social work student, Maiva, on why she's studying social work, what she wants to do in the field, and all of her experiences so far. So Maiva, next question for you. Mm-hmm. What advice would you have for a student that is considering entering the field of social work?
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that advice-wise that I give. So just for like context, I'm in my third year out of four in the social work program at University of St. Boniface. University of St. Boniface is a French university, so I highly recommend if you speak French. It does not need to be perfect French either. I really recommend University of St. Boniface. Well, I'll start with a bit just educating yourself on what you need to go into the program is a really big thing and a big concern for a lot of future students. So just knowing what classes you need, what prerequisites you need, usually available on the website. If you are in like high school, for example, your guidance counselor can really help you with that as well. So I highly recommend that. In terms of financial is a big one too. I think it's some people have more of like the privilege of having someone help them out with finances. But if you're on your own, it can be really tough to figure out what do I do, because it is quite a bit of money sometimes. But there are bursaries, and bursaries are really, really available to everyone, honestly. There's bursaries on most university websites that just tell you what you can and can't apply for. And I know that even some programs and community resources will help you find out what bursaries you're applicable for to, depending on your situation. I don't know all the bursaries off my top of my head, but I know that there are a lot. And that is something I regret, because I didn't actually go for a lot of bursaries because I just assumed it was like for the high grade, super knowledgeable people, lots of volunteering hours. But honestly, there's so many out there. Also, on the financial aspect of things, student aid is also a really good program offered by the government. They actually removed the whole, it used to be a loan thing and like a student loan, but they actually removed that recently, and it's just bursaries and grants now, if you want to. So that means you don't need to pay anything back to the government, which is really good as well, because we don't need more loans in our lives and stuff. So those are some things I would definitely give advice for, as well, just going in, depending on the program. But at University of St. Boniface, it is a very small program, and it really helps because you talk a lot. There's a lot of discussions. So I'd say it's really important to go in with an open mind and willingness to learn, and have maybe some of your morals and values questioned in all social work aspects. But at University of St. Boniface, it's really interesting because we have a lot of discussions. So I'd say just it's important to be open-minded, and also just be ready to, yeah, meet a lot of new people, talk with a lot of new people.
Thank you, Maiva. But that actually reminds me, we offer different scholarships that Voices. So if you check out our website, we offer different scholarships that are awarded to youth that are in and from care that are wanting to go to post-secondary. So check out our website for dates for when those bursaries become available.
Absolutely. And you can find our website at voices.mb.ca. So Maiva, you've been with us here at Voices since October, and it has been such a pleasure having you be a part of our team and help us out with programs and workshops and the show.
Thank you.
So my next question for you is, how has it been for you so far at Voices, and what are some things that you have learned or taken away from your time with us?
Yeah, so I really love being at Voices because, like I mentioned a bit earlier, in the show, I just really like that I can learn so much, even though it's not like a social work specific place. It's really good to see just this side of the community. I think youth in care is something that is talked about, but not enough, in my opinion. So it's really cool that I got to be with Voices, because like there's a radio show, and then there's also Empower You leadership. It's really like giving me a whole new perspective on how to work with youth. And then I've never really thought about the concept of working with youth in care in this way, because like I said, a lot of the time social work is associated with CFS, and it is a different side of the coin, I guess you could say. So it's really interesting to learn everything about youth in care and just really being like thrown into it, into this community.
Well, it kind of shows you what happens after care.
Yes.
You know, it shows you what, like the people that we talk to on a daily basis all have experience of being in care, and what that looks like is different for each of them. So what with your time here with us, you're actually witnessing in real time the different challenges that people are facing at different points of their life.
And I think it's really good because I, like you said, Erin, it's really important to see all stages of youth in and out of care specifically as well, because I didn't really know about how bad and how hard it is after, like when you're out of care. That was a big thing, like I feel like a lot of people don't think about. They think about youth in care, but not what happens after. So I think that was something I also learned a lot about being here at Voices. That's one of the biggest things I'd say. And now I'm a very big advocate for that. And I tell people all about the statistics and the facts and all that I learned at Voices. And I'm like, did you know, like the article today? I talk about that with people a lot, so yeah.
All right, last question for the day. We love to talk about social work and hype it up, and it is a wonderful field. It's very raved about. We love to talk about it here. Sometimes we don't always talk about, you know, what are some of the criticisms of the field? What can be hard about social work? What are things that people might want to be aware of upon entering the field? So, Maiva, do you have any criticisms of the field itself that you have experienced thus far?
Yeah, so I think it's really important to reflect on the negative impact that social workers have had, especially in Canadian history. At University of St. Boniface, in my program, we often talk about how we need to hold ourselves accountable and check our privilege as social workers. Even if I wasn't here during big historical events like the 60 Scoop, for example, it's still important to know the lasting impacts that social workers during that time had. So that is one thing I think is like a criticism slash if you are a social worker and you don't, you know, reflect on that, I think that is a criticism I have. Another criticism is just the lack of balancing with social workers, especially in CFS that have huge caseloads and they can't manage all of them, which affects the care for youth and care. And then it just starts a bad cycle like we see and we're talking about today. So I think that's a big criticism I have is how do we manage this work-life balance slash avoid jadedness becoming jaded in this field, because you really can't be jaded in this field, if that makes sense.
I love that you mentioned the work and personal life balance. That I anticipate would be a real challenge for somebody in the social work field. I myself am not a social worker, but I do mm-hmm. work in the caring field, and it's difficult for me to, I guess, turn off my brain and mm-hmm. not bring the work home with me. Mm-hmm. And I could see that as being a real challenge for social workers, especially ones that are working in the CFS systems, and mm-hmm. it's really hard. So is there anything that you do for yourself to help manage mm-hmm. so you don't become jaded and you don't become burnt out?
Yeah, I think it's important. What I do is just really, yeah, separating that work and like at home life is really important. All my profs have been social workers in the field before, and they all say that a good way to avoid burnout is really to make sure you force yourself to sign up for things, for example, if you can, because once you get home, if you don't, like when you're a student, you go home and then you have homework. But once you're working, most of the time you don't have to do homework, hopefully. So it's really good to like try and sign up for things, go out and hang out with people. Even if you don't want to, it will help you and benefit you a lot. So that's when one of my profs said how she kind of helped herself out of burnout was just forcing herself to go sign up for certain things, or just a workout class, or just a random thing that she saw, and she was like, you know what, I'm just gonna do it even if I really don't want to, because that's how you kind of get out of that cycle. So for me, it would be something like that. It would be like making sure I go home, and like I love cooking, and I've noticed a bit that I've been cooking like less, or like less like, you know, extravagant meals, which I really like doing. So that's one thing I really have to start doing again, because I do enjoy that stuff. So that's one thing I've noticed that I need to bring back, or like going to the museum. Like I said, I really like, that's one thing I haven't done in a while, or going to the Forks, or just things like that that I like doing is a good way of avoiding burnout. But yeah, I think it's also important to criticize just the fact that people need to really have experience in all varieties, since it is such a like vast degree. I think it's important to go into the nitty gritty of the job sometimes and just kind of educate yourself, or even just participating in webinars and seminars and conferences, just to really get knowledge on the population at hand. Because yes, we can help like one population. I'm not saying you have to do every job on the planet, but I think avoiding the harder parts doesn't benefit the field at all and doesn't benefit you, in my opinion. So, yeah.
I agree that it is so important for us to broaden our perspective on what some of the social issues our society face and how we may be unknowingly contributing to it by ignoring it. So even just having that awareness and being able to have those conversations, that can go a very long way. And while listening to you today, Maiva, I remembered a quote that it holds very true to my heart, and it is that social work is not what you do, it is who you are. Mm-hmm. And I can definitely hear that this is a passion that comes from your heart. Thank and you. It's in you and it's intrinsic, and you want to go out and make that good change. Mm-hmm. And as it should be for all social workers in the field. Erin, Maiva, and I earlier today were talking about how social work is not a career you go into to get rich. Yeah, and no. If that is the motivation, then you may be disappointed. Because social work is a duty. It's, you know, you're bringing justice, you're doing it for different reasons, and that you really have to lead with your heart in this field. Anyways, this was a really amazing conversation today, guys. Maiva, thanks so much for opening up to us about the field.
Thank you.
And that is going to wind up our show for today. Thank you all so much for listening. We will be back next week interviewing our other social work student, Katya, so stay tuned for that. And we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
candy and she grew up on my street. Every day she'd go by and smile at me. After school I'd go home, I'd lay right down and dream of her sweet red ruby lips and everything in between. We'd skip class and smoke cigarettes behind the church. If I knew anything, Candy knew first. She taught me more than I would ever learn in school. A supper beautiful for lonely-hearted fools. Little trailer out in the back, we fell asleep to the sounds of the railroad tracks. Candy and me, everything was gonna be alright. Freckled innocence and curly red hair, lived with her mother and the boys from foster care. How easy it was to say her name. I call out for her over and over again. Little trailer out on the back, we fell asleep to the sounds of the railroad tracks. Camden and me, every